Now, live from Studio 550, it's McGraw in the Morning on the Big 550 KTRS.
8:34 here on the Big 550 KTRS. David Stokes, our good friend with the Show Me Institute, joins us every Monday to talk all things politics and local. David Stokes, good morning this morning.
Morning, McGraw.
What's this story about the Board of Aldermen actually trying to vote themselves out of business and trying to vote themselves to be a smaller group?
Yeah, this is terrific. The voters in the city of St. Louis in a few weeks here are going to have a ballot initiative. I think the Board of Aldermen put it on the ballot themselves to reduce the size of the Board of Aldermen from 28, which for a city of St. Louis' size is an extremely large number of council people,
right,
to 14. And I think it's a terrific idea.
Is this because the Board of Aldermen hate each other so much they would just rather not spend days and weeks with each other? Or what's going on?
Well, they did it for practical and political purposes. This won't take effect until after the next census and after the next redistricting. So it comes into effect, I believe, in 2022, where they'll reduce it down to 14. So most of the members of the board will be gone anyway, which is probably one of the reasons why they were willing to put it on the ballot. But leaving that aside,
right,
it's still a very good idea for the people of St. Louis.
Why do they pick 14? What's the magic number with 14?
I don't know, and I think there is no real set magic number.
Right, I mean, it's sort of half, right? Is it half? So,
see,
right.
Population of the city's declined by half in the last 30, 40 years.
Right.
So it seems reasonable. But there is academic evidence that this can be beneficial. There's something called the law of 1N, which is a widely regarded law of public choice economics, which says that the larger a legislative body, the more it's likely to spend. Now, it's not a exact rule. It's
right.
Sort of more of a guideline, but it is true. So it will benefit the city of St. Louis to have a smaller board, as there'll be less pressure to spend more money.
It'll be interesting to see if it's passed by the voters, because the voters like calling up their aldermen saying, hey, you know what? My street needs to be cleaned. My doorknob broke off, or that guy's car has parked cockeyed. Somebody come and fix it.
Well, true, and I've got an anecdote that I'll tell as quickly as I can for you. About 7-8 years ago, when I was an aide at the St. Louis County Council, I got a call from somebody who said he just moved to an unincorporated part of the county and he wanted a street light in front of his house. So I started telling him about how he could contact with his neighborhood association and they could work with Ameren and get a street light installed. And then he said, no, that's not what I want. So then I go into more detail like, well, you could start gathering signatures to create a streetlight taxing district.
Right.
And go into all this detail. It's like, finally, he interrupts me. He goes, no, I just want you to put a streetlight in front of my house. and you, of course, being my boss, the councilman.
Right.
So I had to explain to him that that's not how it worked in St. Louis County, that you just didn't call up and demand a streetlight. And he got real angry and he said, look, I just moved from St. Louis City, and if I wanted a streetlight installed in front of my house, I just called the alderman, and I got a streetlight.
Right.
So yes, it's when you have so many people, it's a good thing. So many aldermen, it can be a positive thing that they can be involved in their neighborhood, so community so closely. But it also has negative consequences in that people get used to just every time they want a streetlight, they just ask the alderman.
It's really interesting because I tried for 12 years to get a burned-out building right next to the botanical garden down, and nobody helped me.
But well, there are exceptions to every rule, McGraw.
This guy wanted a mailbox in his end of his street, and he gets one instantaneously. So, I mean, the house had to fall down. I mean, it had to land on a Wicked Witch of the West before the – anyway. All right. You see, now you got me all riled up.
Well, that was a strange case.
That was a strange case. All right, what's going on with the city of St. Louis lowering the speed limit?
Well, they just lowered the speed limit sort of out of the blue on the Forest Park Parkway, which is, you know, like a 6-lane, practically a highway.
Right.
Once you get out of through Forest Park and then into the city, and they just lowered it down to 30, sort of out of the blue last week. So I called up the Board of Aldermen looking to get some information on why they made this choice, and looking for the bill where they passed the past the speed limit, because most cities, when you alter a speed limit, you do it by an ordinance or a change.
Sure.
And they said, oh, no, there's no ordinance. The street department just declared it lower. So, all right. So then I called the street department. And can I get a copy of the speed study you did, the traffic counts, the speed study? And I didn't. And finally they said, yeah, we'll put something together for you. So they didn't actually do really anything, at least anything formally, to present to the aldermen to decide upon this. They say they did some of these things, and they're going to send them over to me to explain why they lowered the limit. I wasn't asking them to do any work for me. I just presumed that they did this before they chose.
So, in other words, the guy moved back into the city and wanted the speed limit lowered on Forest Park, and so his alderman did it, basically.
Something like that. Where apparently, the head of the street department can just sort of unilaterally lower a speed limit, and I'll be interested when they get this data to me that they've promised to see what the reasons behind it were. This is a major route to get people from throughout the St. Louis region. Tens of thousands of people use it to commute every day.
So it's between Kings Highway and then what, 170,
to Grand.
I guess?
No. They lowered it between Grand and Kings Highway.
Okay.
The speed limit in the park itself, where you admittedly have less pedestrian traffic as it sort of snakes through Forest Park,
right,
that's going to stay higher. But through Kings Highway and Grand, they've lowered it down to 30, which strikes me as pretty slow for an area that has, for a highway that has six lanes.
Yes, but that's more residential there, or that's more streetlights along the way. So
right,
I wonder, yeah. Also, while you're asking them, ask them why they don't synchronize the lights.
Well, maybe at 30 miles an hour they will be synchronized now. Who knows?
All right. But
I will look into that.
Keep us informed on this. Find out why because I don't think anyone's talking about why this was lowered. So keep on this.
I would love to, and I'm just curious about the process behind it, too.
Exactly. Yeah, what are you doing just arbitrarily lowering and raising speed limits? What's going on there? All right. Lastly, while we have you, news information came out late last week about this new TIF proposal that's going to have a Whole Foods and a whole bunch of residential apartments in the central West End.
Right. This is right by our office, so it's a lot I know very well. Walk by it all the time on my way to Subway.
Right.
It's a great development. The great apartments, condos, a Whole Foods there. It's gorgeous. It's on one of the nicest empty spots in the city of St. Louis.
Right.
And this is a beautiful area. So it's a great development, but of course they're going to ask for $10 million in tax increment financing.
It's like one block off of Lindell, right?
It's one block south of Lindell, about two blocks north of the Parkway. It's a beautiful. The lot itself is ugly,
right?
But you shouldn't define blight by one lot. You should define blight by the larger area it's in. And that area, it's a wealthy, beautiful area. And the idea that taxpayers need to subsidize this proposal strikes me as ludicrous.
This is a city TIF, is that right? Or how is this TIF? Who's giving this TIF?
This would be done by the City of St. Louis.
Of St. Louis. Who's getting the other TIF?
Well, the developers. Okay. I mean, Whole Foods gets a lot of the attention in the discussion, but it's Whole Foods isn't getting the TIF. It's going to be the people who develop the complex.
Who is developing the complex, do we know? I'll put you on the spot here.
I think it's Mills Properties.
Okay. Are these going to be condos, or are they going to be rentals in this apartment complex?
Probably both.
Okay.
I don't know for sure, and I'm not sure that that's even absolutely determined yet.
Right.
There's going to be some market rate rentals, if I recall the Post story on it from a few days ago, but there's going to be a beautiful Whole Foods at the bottom, and that's all great. I'm ecstatic this is coming in. I will shop at this Whole Foods. It will be very convenient for me. But the idea that taxpayers from throughout the St. Louis region, and this includes St. Louis County taxpayers, will be subsidizing this, it's just as bad as the ones out in Ellisville or the upcoming one in Shrewsbury. We don't need to subsidize every one of these developments.
There's Straub's, which is literally a tenth of a mile away, right? At least, maybe, at most, that I don't think got any tax increment financing to build their supermarket there.
That's a great point, McGraw. Why is the city saying we're going to subsidize one grocery store at the expense of another grocery store? These are not the choices the politicians should be making. Customers should be deciding which grocery store wins the competition. And probably there's room for two of them in the area. But why one gets subsidized and one doesn't is beyond me.
And I've never understood this either. Businesses do this as well. You treat the customers you don't have better than the customers you do have. If you want to give somebody a tax break, give Straub's the tax break. They've been paying taxes in your town for years.
You could make it easier to build this development and help Straub's if St. Louis City were to lower their citywide commercial property tax surcharge, which is the second highest in the state at $1.64 per hundred. If they lowered that, they could help every business in the city and not pick and choose which ones get the subsidies.
It's like, you know, hey, why don't you join our TV service? We'll give you, you know, we'll charge you just $4 for the next 10 years. Well, you're like, great, I've been a long-time customer of that. Give me the $4. No, I'm sorry. That's only for new customers only. It's just terrible. All right. David Stokes, anything else we are missing that we should touch on?
Just check out our website, showmeinstitute.org, and our blog at showmedaily.org. Follow me on Twitter at David C. Stokes, and like us on Facebook.
In terms of the presidential race, we've mentioned that you're a delegate for Romney, correct?
Well, I'm a member of the Electoral College.
You don't do anything until after the election, correct?
Correct. At some point in mid-December, if Romney wins Missouri, I'll cast one of Missouri's 10 votes in the Electoral College.
It doesn't matter who wins the national, right? It only matters who wins the state. So if Romney wins the state and loses the national election, you still cast your ballot.
Correct.
And even if on the strange thing that Romney would win the state, win the popular vote, and then lose the election, you would still then go and vote, and you have pledged your allegiance to Romney.
Correct.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah, I mean there's no law. I mean, I don't go to prison if I go there and write myself in.
Right.
So there's no, you pledge and but all you have is your word on this.
Right.
And I do intend to follow through on that word.
Which has happened. I mean, every once in a while, an elector will vote for somebody different.
Yes, I don't believe it's happened in several elections, but it has happened in the past.
Every once in a while. What about this idea of splitting the Electoral College votes? Have you gotten into that at all? Like some states, I think Nebraska is one of them, and other states want to dole out the electors based on the population, based on the vote of that state.
Right, and it's an interesting idea, and I'm not automatically opposed to it. What Nebraska and I think Maine do now is you have the number of electoral votes based on your number of congressional districts plus two,
right,
plus your two senators. So they divvy up their
five.
Popular
Nebraska
vote.
Is five.
Right. So they divvy up their, if let's say the Democrat wins one congressional district but loses statewide, the Democratic candidate in Nebraska would get the electoral vote from that one congressional district, and then the Republican would get the two electoral votes from the two congressional districts he or she won, and the two statewide then.
Right.
And I think Maine does it the same way. And it is an interesting idea because it still benefits you to win the whole state. I mean, you get then the sort of two Senate-based electoral votes there.
Right. But you don't lose everything. So
right.
California would get some Republican votes, and Democrats would get some Texas votes.
Absolutely. You know, California, instead of being 50-0 and nobody even campaigns there because it's hopeless, would suddenly be, you know, the Democrat would get 30 easy, the Republican would get 15, and they'd fight over five.
Right.
So it's certainly one of the positive points to the argument is making it more competitive in states that aren't always competitive.
Right, and seems like there's a lot of interest from both parties on this. Both parties see the positive as well as the negative. So.
Well, you can't allow yourself to be beaten in this new electoral race. I mean, if the minority party in states that favor one party succeeds in doing it in their states, then the other party has to succeed in doing it in the other states.
Right.
Or all of a sudden you're going to lose 10 and not gain 10 in the other way.
Right. Yeah. It's interesting. All right. David Stokes, the website for Show Me Institute.
ShowMeInstitute.org.
There you go, Dave. Have a good week.
Thanks, McGraw.
8:50, make it 8:49. We'll check traffic and weather, and we'll check in with Mike Kelly, Voice of the Tigers. That's next on KTRS.